Take your Bible, if you would, and locate the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm so pleased that this school, for all these many years, has emphasized church planting, and that you have a conference like this to teach the nuts and bolts of going out to plant a church. When my wife and I finished Bible school and launched out in 1975 to start our first church, we did not have the benefit of having what you all have here. That is, a conference like this to teach us and help us and prepare us for the journey that was to come before us. We did not know. And all we did was launch out. We had a burden and a desire and a vision for what God wanted us to accomplish by His grace, and off we went. We grew up in the city of Chicago. In fact, we were bus kids. If you work in the bus ministry and you see those little kids that are running around and you think there's no hope, there is some hope. I sat in the back of the bus and kind of terrorized everybody on the bus. My wife sat right behind the bus driver and greeted everybody with a smile and was real sweet. We met in the third grade, but we didn't get serious to the fourth. And from there, of course, off to Bible school and then launched out to start this church. We got to that first Sunday of that first church, and I think 29 people showed up, as I recall. We had no piano player, and I cannot sing. In other words, I enjoyed the music today. What a blessing for that. When I sing, the angels weep. And I had recently won to Christ my brother-in-law, who was a big and a jolly fella, and he knew about three gospel songs. So I got him up there singing or leading. I think it was Victory in Jesus and two others. And we got through it. No piano, no organ, nothing. But I'm preaching away that first Sunday, and it dawned on me. Now remember, nobody walked me through what to expect on that first Sunday. So it dawned on me, what am I going to do about the invitation? I don't have anybody to play Just As I Am softly, and I sure wasn't going to get that brother-in-law of mine up there. God only knows what he would say. So after the message, I said, every head bowed, every eye closed, as my wife stands and sings, Just As I Am. Now, that was the first time she heard it. So I looked out at her, and this is what she did. Mm-mm. So what do? You just say it louder. As my wife stands and sings, Just As I Am, more emphatically. Well, she got religion, she stood, she sang, but I want to tell you, that afternoon we had a come to Jesus meeting, and never again did I pull that. Now, I say all that simply to say this: take advantage of this conference to learn what you need to learn before you launch the church. Because there are just little things along the way that you don't even stop to think about that are important to the success of that church. And so hopefully and prayerfully you'll take advantage of all that. Now, I want you to understand today in Romans chapter 10, this is a different message than I would normally preach in a college chapel. And my purpose today is really just to lay the foundation for what hopefully you will receive this week and all of the different, or these days, and all of the workshops and chapel sessions together about church planting. And I trust that it'll be a blessing and just stir your heart about the subject of church planting. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, someone said, blessed is the preacher who can get airborne without using too much runway. So let's jump in. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Without any hesitation, we know the Apostle Paul had an incredible burden for his people. Amen? In fact, we get a deeper glimpse of that back in chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, verse 3 is an incredible statement. Chapter 9, verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So in chapter 10, when he said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, Paul was pouring out his soul, a soul of deep concern and compassion for his people, for his nation. I don't believe we do any injustice to chapter 10, verse 1, by saying today, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for America is that they might be saved. You know, in political terms, the question today is often asked, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Politicians often ask that question. I think it was originally asked by our 40th president when he was running for president, Ronald Reagan, when he was running against Jimmy Carter, and he asked that question. But I don't know as a nation that that's the question. I think we need to be asking, as a nation, are we better off today than we were 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, or a generation or two ago? In other words, do Americans today possess stronger morals, greater integrity, deeper spirituality? I submit to you that while we have progressed as a nation in technology and military might, we have digressed spiritually. As a nation, we've tossed God out of our school system, rejected the Ten Commandments, and we have elected public officials that have endorsed every anti-biblical theme imaginable. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. But the question is this: what can we do about it? So like the Apostle Paul, I'm burdened, and I believe you're burdened for our country, America. But what's the answer? What is the biblical solution facing the challenges that confront us today? What needs to be done? What does God desire? What does God expect? Without question, part of that answer is church planting. Someone said the mission of the church is missions, but the mission of missions is church planting. Whether it's here in America or abroad, we must plant churches. Church planting around the world? Yes. Church planting in the United States? Yes. Globally and locally. That's what Acts 1 verse 8 is all about. Several years ago, as Dr. Goetsch mentioned, God put upon my heart to launch a mission agency that is devoted entirely to planting churches here in the United States. As an agency, we do not plant the churches. We simply work with men and local churches, sending churches that are God called to do that. Currently, we're working with some 20 men in 15 states. And very simply, our desire is to help them be successful. What can we do to facilitate their success? How can we help them in any and every way possible plant that church successfully? But you know, to many people as I travel, the question they have is this: why more churches in America? Why? Why do we need more churches? Particularly in the Midwest or the Deep South, as you drive down the street, you'll see churches here and churches there, and that question becomes so pressing on their mind. Why more churches? Well, I would like to help answer that question today. And hopefully the answer to that question today will be used of God to create a desire, a longing in your heart to plant a church. If time permits, I'd like to suggest 9 reasons why we must plant churches here in America. They're very simple, Number one, because church planting is biblical. That's where it starts. That's the foundation. As Bible believers, we do what the Bible tells us to do. If God says it, that settles it. Church planting is biblical. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We see it from the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. You know the verse. Paul, when writing to the church in Corinth, by the way, it was a troubled church after several years. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And by the way, just a parenthetical thought. It's important to note that in church planting, it's not our personality, it's not our giftedness, it's not our ability, it's not our experience, it's God that gives the increase. And while God can use all of those things for his glory, and he does, if we're surrendered to him, we begin the process of planting a church with the understanding that if any good is going to come out of that endeavor, it comes out of that endeavor because it is God that gives the increase. Paul and others planted churches in key cities. A careful reading of Scripture, the New Testament, the book of Acts reveals that. Derbe, Lystra, Antioch, Philippi, Corinth, Ephesus, Thessalonica. They did it now. Then we need to do it now. We need to follow their biblical example. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Local churches. Local churches. Not the invisible church, whatever that may be. People who are proponents of the invisible church, I've noticed something about them. On Sunday night, they're invisible. Church work day, they're invisible. Wednesday prayer meeting, they're invisible. The soul-winning visitation night, they're invisible. No, Jesus wants us to plant local New Testament churches. It's biblical. Reason number two. Because the local church is God's instrument to spread the gospel. God ordained the church to spread the gospel. Now keep in mind, the church is not a building. It's not an organization. The church is people. And those people, born again, baptized people coming together, God has ordained that local assembly to go out and plant churches. We need more churches propagating the message of the cross, not fewer. Do you realize that there are communities, subdivisions, neighborhoods, and cities, as so clearly was presented today, that are in desperate and dire need of churches like this church? All over America. All over. Here's an interesting thought about evangelism. New churches are far more effective at evangelizing than older established churches are. In fact, new churches win an average of 10 people to Christ per year per 100 members, whereas churches that are 15 years or older, on average, win 3 people to Christ per year per 100 members. So a new church is over 3 times more effective at reaching people. The older a church becomes, on average, it's more focused on keeping the aquarium instead of fishing for men. Number three, because America is a true mission field. I don't know that the average person views America as a mission field, but I'm here to tell you, America is a mission field. There's an interesting book that was written some time ago, just a few years ago, called The American Church in Crisis. It's an awakening book. It's a book that is startling. And that book surveyed some 200,000 plus churches. Over half of the churches in the United States, that book surveyed. And the information gleaned from those 200,000 plus churches is so revealing. Only 8.9%, I want you to get that number in your head, only 8.9% of the population in the United States will attend an evangelical church on a Sunday. Now, I'm not talking about an independent Baptist fundamentalist church like this. I'm talking about an evangelical church. In other words, a church that would, I would say, comfortably would preach the gospel, but would not have our same separation position and other positions that we would hold dear. Only 8.9% of the population of our country would attend that kind of a church on a given Sunday, which means roughly 90% of our country would never darken the doors of any kind of a church that would even remotely proclaim the gospel on a Sunday. It went on to say that 16.5% of the population on a given Sunday would attend any kind of Christian church, whether they're gospel preaching, evangelical, fundamentalist, Catholic, you name it, any denomination you want. No matter how liberal they may be, if they have Christian as part of their name or identification, only 16.5% of the population of our country would attend those kinds of churches on a given weekend. Which means, if I can boil it down, due to those statistics, and you say, well, what if they're not exact? They're probably not exact. The truth is, it's impossible to have an exact number. But if they're even close to being exact, when you factor in those statistics with the vast number of people in our country, the population of our country, the United States is about the third or fourth largest mission field in the world today. We've got to do something. We have to. Let me give you number four. We need to be planting churches in America because America's population is expanding at a record rate. If we could hold the population, if we could say, okay, we're not going to grow anymore so we could have time to catch up, that would be one thing. But the reality is we can't hold the population. We don't have time to catch up. Let me give you some statistics. And I don't want to belabor this, but I want you to get this in your heart and in your mind. If you go back to 1990, from 1990 to 2006, a 17-year span, from 1990 to 2006, we had 22,873,578 immigrants, legal immigrants into our country. During that same 17-year span, we had 68,510,978 births in our country. So when you add those together and then subtract the 39,611,000 deaths, the net gain in population in that 17-year span for our country is 51,773,556 people. Now, I want you to get that. In 17 years, our population increased by 51,773,556 people. To put that in perspective, that is nearly the population of England. So in 17 years, we birthed a country almost the size of England. In 17 years. And my question is, who's going to reach those people? Not just the people who are living here already, that we are woefully behind in reaching, but those nearly 52 million people that have come on to the stage of our country in that 17-year span. We've got to plant churches. You say, who's going to do it? Well, I hope and pray that I'm looking at some of them right now. That's what I hope and pray. Let me give you number five. We've got to plant churches because, number five, many Baptist churches are not growing. We've got Baptist churches out there, and would to God they'd kick it up and get moving, but sadly, they're not. There are some 90,000 Baptist churches in the United States. I mean, if you take Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, I mean, every brand that you can name, there's 90,000 Baptist churches. The average size of those 90,000 Baptist churches is 124 people. 124 people. But the average growth rate of those 90,000 Baptist churches is 0.5%. 0.5%. Now, by the way, not only does that mean that they're not reaching people in their own community, it also means they don't have the funding to do anything overseas. If some of those, and we know they are independent Baptist churches and have a faith promise program, if they're not reaching more than 0.5%, if they're not growing more than that, my goodness, how in the world will their faith promise increase to do anything abroad? And the reality is, it won't. If those 90,000 Baptist churches were true to this book, and we're in love with Jesus Christ, and we're committed to preaching the gospel as presented in the scriptures, we might have a chance. But you know, and I know, most of those 90,000 are not churches like this. Number six, because fundamental, independent, gospel-preaching Baptist churches, I'm talking about churches like this church, like your home church, form the greatest source of resources for international missions endeavor. We need to plant churches here so that we can reach people over there, wherever over there is. You talk to any pastor, and here's what you'll hear them say. When you dialogue with them about missions, and here's what you're going to hear them say. On a given week, they will receive one, two, or maybe more contacts from missionaries needing support. I think it is tragic. I think it is an indictment that a young couple that would graduate from this college would have to spend 3 or 4 years tromping around the country to get enough support to go to the place that God has called them to go. We have enough churches out there that should be able to get a young couple to the field within a year or two. There's something wrong. We've got to plant churches so that we can reach the world, not just America, the world. When I talk about resources, I'm talking about servants to go, and I'm talking about funds to help them go. There was a day in history when England occupied that position. Men like William Carey, J. Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, David Livingston, Robert Morrison, Robert Moffat, and while not all of these men were just like us, they carried the gospel to the dark corners of the world. Investing in United States church planting today results in missionary on foreign fields tomorrow. I'm trying to get pastors to understand this, and thank God your pastor does. But if they can only understand, church planting is not wasting money, it's investing money as a means of reaching not only people here, but literally around the world. It's an investment. It's not taking dollars away from foreign missions. It's a long-term biblical plan to put dollars into foreign missions. And by the way, in new churches, there's just a pioneering spirit that exists, which contributes to men and women responding to God's call to serve that so often does not exist in churches that are 20, 30, and 40, and 50 years old. I was involved a number of years ago in a study where we looked at five church planters that had gone out 15 to 20 years previous to the study. We went back to those church planters and we asked them, how much money did you receive when you planted the church 15 or 20 years earlier? We asked each of them that question. And we totaled that amount up. And to be honest, it was microscopic. It was insignificant. It ran in the thousands of dollars for all five of them on a given year. The total for all five wouldn't have supported one of them full time. By the way, they were thankful for whatever they got, but it wasn't sufficient. Most of them had to work and do some other things in order to survive as they planted their church. But all five of those church planters, by the grace of God, built a great church. And then 15 to 20 years after that, we asked them, how much money now does this church that you planted 15 to 20 years earlier give to missions on an annual basis? And those five churches were contributing over $500,000 a year to missions. Probably 75% or more of it was going to foreign missions. Probably 20 to 25% to church planting in the United States. My point? If those five churches had not been planted, 350 to 400,000 dollars a year would not be going to the foreign field today. We need to plant churches today so that we can support missionaries going to the foreign field tomorrow. Let me give you number seven quickly. Do you realize that every year in the United States, and it's a hard figure to nail down specifically, but somewhere between 3,700 and 4,000 churches close their doors every year in America? Go out of business. Shut the lights off. 3,700 to 4,000 churches every year. Gone. The last decade, the exact number in the study I read was 3,750 churches for the previous decade on average every year. It's a young man that called me. He was a youth pastor up in Buffalo, New York. His name was Michael Herzog. His name is Michael Herzog. And Michael had a burden to pastor a church. In fact, he had a burden to plant a church. He grew up in the Buffalo area. Upon graduation from Bible college, went back and served in a church in that area. But he had a burden to plant a church. And I said, well, Michael, where do you want to plant the church? He said, somewhere up here in this area. As God would have it, it's a long story that I won't get into, one of those 3,000 plus churches, closed churches, became available to him. That church has an auditorium that seats about 125 to 150 people, Sunday school classrooms, offices, a gymnasium, and a parsonage with four bedrooms. He got that facility absolutely free. No debt. Zero. All paid for. The previous church went out of business, had turned it over to another church an hour away. That pastor didn't know what to do with it. And again, through a series of circumstances, ended up giving it to this young man. That church today is not yet 3 years old. It'll be 3 years old in May or June. They already support five missionaries at over $100 a month per missionary. He called me here a month or two ago and said, Dr. Shoemaker, you'd never guess what I did. I said, what'd you do? He said, I bought a radio station. I said, a radio station? I said, Michael, what do you know about a radio station? He said, nothing. That's why I called you. I said, well, let me help you. I don't know anything about a radio station. I can put you in touch with a few people that know about a radio station, but I don't know anything about a radio station. We put him in contact. It's a small station. It'll go about 30 miles around his church area. But he's got used 24/7, this radio station. It's going to go online here in 2 months. It's going to be broadcasting. Unbelievable opportunity. For a church that at the time that radio station hits the air will be just a little bit over 3 years old. I went up when the church was 1 year old. He had me to come up, speak to a group of pastors. He gathered 20 pastors together. In that group, I met a pastor by the name of Art Cole. And I got an email from him a month ago who told me that another church about 30 miles from where this young Michael is went out of business. Their church bought that church for $30,000. It's all paid for. Here's what he told me. He said, we've got the church, sent me a picture of it. It's all paid for. He said, I have three families right now from my church that will go with a church planter to start that church. I need you to find us the church planter. There are opportunities. A young man went and started a church. In fact, Easter Sunday will be his first anniversary. He went to Ohio, just south of Columbus. His name is Ben Blackburn. He went to this city, 20 miles south of Columbus, didn't know a soul. Went there, it'll be a year on Easter. Met in the fairgrounds, rented building. He went there 2 months and he got a phone call from a pastor. Pastor said, I know you started this church. He said, our church isn't doing well. In fact, we're going to go out of business. He said, I want to give you our property. He called me and said, what do you think? I said, well, first of all, pastor just can't give you the property. You have to do it the right way. So we got him connected with an attorney. Everything got worked out. That pastor today has 10 acres of property. I was up there in the fall and a building that seats probably 125, 150 people. And he's paying less on the mortgage of that building, which is only, I think he only has a few years left to pay, than he was paying for the rented facility. Those churches are out there. We got to get our hands on them and get some of you guys to go pastor those churches. Number 8, because the church to population ratio has declined. The church to population ratio. In other words, how many churches per population. In 1920, you probably heard this statistic, but in 1920 we had 27 churches for every 10,000 Americans. By 1950, it went to 17 churches for every 10,000 Americans. By 1995 or 96, it was down to 10 churches for every 10,000 Americans, and now it's down to 9 churches for every 10,000 Americans. So obviously we're losing ground year by year by year. Number 9, and we're done. We need to plant churches in America because the world has come to America. The world's here. The world has come to America. There's over 100,000 Vietnamese in San Jose. You can get a plane and fly over to Vietnam, or you can go to San Jose, plant a church. 65,000 Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, who live in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Hill people from Cambodia. 65,000, over 65,000. There are 10 cities in the United States with Native American populations greater than 20,000. I mean, I could go on and on and on and cite statistics. New York City areas is home to the largest Jewish community outside of Israel. The Hispanic population of our country represents 16, almost 17% of our population. We can reach the nations of the world by planting churches here in America. Any big city, they name so many of them today. All you have to do is go to any of those cities, New York, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., San Francisco, any of them, and you'll see what I mean. And you know that already. Any university town, they're there. The world has come to America. We can reach those people. So here's my challenge as I close. Number one, pray about giving your life to plant a church in America. Pray about it. Let God speak to your heart this week. Number two, pray about giving your life to help someone plant a church. You might say, boy, I'm not a preacher. God's not called me to pastor. But guess what? We need team members. We need team members to go. It's a hard run when you go by yourself. I've done it. What a blessing when a team can go. You say, I can go as a team member. I can help teach Sunday school and work the nursery and lead the singing and do a number of other things. All the time, out there soul winning and knocking on doors, helping to build that church. And number three, pray that God would lift up fundamental, spirit-filled church planters so that we can reach America with the gospel and ultimately the world.